somewhat of a timely story or message or whatever that Amanda shared that Brian, I didn't see it, but apparently posted on Facebook. I think it goes a little bit hand in hand with the message this morning. We have a number of problems in our culture. Would you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few of them. One of the problems that we have, though, I think, is that people, or a lot of people, maintain a crazy, chaotic, out-of-control schedule as though it's a badge of honor. Like, look at my schedule. I am so busy. I've got this meeting, and I've got this. And we almost flaunt it like it's a badge of honor, right? The fact of the matter is it's not a badge of honor, nor does it honor God. Yes, I said that. It does not honor God to have a schedule that is chaotic and out of control, or otherwise known as a schedule that is a hot mess. And I know that at some point in my life, sometimes I am guilty of such a schedule. And so that is the title of our message this morning. We're continuing in this series called Hot Mess. And today we're going to look at this chaotic schedule that too many people tend to maintain. Last week we kind of looked at a hot mess as it relates to our family. You know, maybe living unintentionally, not having goals, not having plans, broken relationships, conflicts, all those things that make our family a hot mess. And we looked at ways that of how to address those things. When we think of this catchphrase, it's kind of a new thing called hot mess, it's often associated with chaos, right? So in this series, we are talking about the parts of our lives that fall into this category of chaotic. And like I said, last week was family. Today I want to talk about our schedule. I don't know about you, but there are just days when my schedule is kind of a hot mess. And every square inch, you know, you have that calendar on the refrigerator and you open it, and like every square inch of it has got something written on it, and there's not even a day that like the square isn't blank. Or where the square is blank. I look at my calendar and I'm like, what in the world is going on? And then, you know, you've got your phone, or I have my phone that is like constantly buzzing and beeping, reminding me of, you know, the meetings that I have in my Google calendar. Like, this is your 30-minute warning, you have this meeting, and this is your, you know, your two-hour warning that you have this meeting, and then this is your daily reminder that tomorrow you have that meeting, and it's like, what in the world? Some days, sometimes it just seems overwhelming. Like, how am I going to maintain all of this? And I know for me that I have to be very intentional about keeping track of things, or I'll forget. And in full disclosure, sometimes I still forget. And let me tell you, the last thing that you want to do is say to your wife, hey, what do we got going on tonight? When she's already reminded you the last 3 days about what you have going on that night, and yet you still ask her, what do you have going on that night? Am I the only man that that happens to? And you get that, honey, what do we got going on tonight? And then all of a sudden you get that, like, glare. And I'm like, what? Oh, yeah, I guess you did tell me that the last 4 nights. Don't forget about this tonight. Don't forget about this Monday night. And there you are Monday night asking what the plan is. But that's what happens when our schedule is a hot mess. That's what happens when our schedule is chaotic. And that's what happens when we're not intentional about keeping track of things. And there are plenty of gadgets and gizmos out there to help us keep track of our schedule, right? I mean, we have our phones, we have our notes, we have reminders, we have our you know, alerts on our calendars and all those things to help us. And you know what? Sometimes we even have, like, paper and pencil. That stuff still exists where you can actually take a pencil and write it on paper. You know, that works. You know, there still is that. But sometimes it doesn't matter if you have all the gizmos and gadgets and paper and calendars in the world. Sometimes it's just hard to maintain it if you have a schedule that is just too full. It doesn't matter what you have to keep track of it. If your schedule is just too full, then it becomes a mess. I have lived that life, and maybe some of you have lived that life. Maybe some of you are living that life right now and know exactly what it feels like, where there just doesn't seem to be enough day to accommodate your schedule or enough day to accommodate the things that you need to get done. And you know what? If we're to be honest and stop back, that's not really a very appealing life. To be that busy, I don't think really appeals to anyone. Even though sometimes we're proud of it almost, it's not really that appealing. In fact, not only is it not appealing, it's a mess. And it's chaos. The reason we are talking about our schedules today is because there are repercussions of a chaotic and full schedule. And the repercussions are that your busy schedule sometimes ends up affecting people closest to you, right? Your schedule is so full that not only does it affect you, it affects the people around you. The people closest to you are the ones who are affected directly or impacted directly by your schedule and your ability or inability to manage that schedule. Not to mention the impact it can have on your mental and physical health as well. Running ragged and maintaining a schedule like that can certainly wreak havoc on your psychological well-being as well as your physical well-being. What if our discussion today and that of last Sunday were to kind of go hand in hand? You know, what if your chaotic and hot mess of a schedule is creating a hot mess in your family? So the two can really go hand in hand. So this morning I want to share a few things about what the Bible says to help us regain a manageable schedule rather than one that is a chaotic, hot mess. The first thing is this, and the first thing that we need to do is find a Sabbath rest. Find Sabbath rest or take Sabbath rest. This morning, I want to read from the book of Genesis. Last week, we kind of almost went through the entire book of Genesis, or at least it kind of felt like that, looking at the family system of the patriarchs of that day and how their family was really a hot mess. Today, I want us to begin with the second chapter in the Bible. So we're going way, way back to the very beginning. The second chapter in the Bible in the book of Genesis, which, of course, is the second chapter in the book of the Bible. And this is where we find the first step we can take towards reevaluating our schedule to make sure that we are maintaining a healthy lifestyle. Simply put, we need to find Sabbath rest. It's not only healthy, but it's biblical. And this is what it says in Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. Thus, well, I'll start with the very beginning. Thus, the heavens and earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, it says in verse 2, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he what? He rested. It doesn't say on the seventh day he went on to something else. On the seventh day, he rested. And God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating all that he had done. Somehow, some miraculous way, in a way that only God could do, he creates the heavens and earth in 6 days. That's day and night and animal and man and earth and sea and sky and all of it. In 6 days, he created it all. And then on the seventh day, the Bible says that he rested from all the work that he had done. So, do you really think that the all-powerful, all-knowing God of creation of the universe really got tired in creating the earth? Probably not. Do you really think that he needed to rest on the seventh day? Debatable, but probably not. I mean, he's got all the power. I don't really think he needed the rest. This is what it says. I'll get back to that in just a second. This is what it says in John 5:17. Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am working." So, well, wait a minute. We just read in Genesis where it says on the seventh day he rested. Now in James it says, Jesus responded to them, says, "My Father is always at work to this very day, and I too am always working." Well, what is it? Am I always working, or am I going to rest? Is there a day of rest, or am I to always be working? Because Genesis and James, or John rather, seem to say something different from one another. One says that he rested, the other says that he's always working. But like many things in Scripture, there's this idea in theology, what I like to call biblical tension, right? So essentially, when reading the Bible, we must hold two verses like this in tension with each other and say, okay, is there really a contradiction here or not? So we need to figure that out. When we do, we see God is not resting in Genesis 2 because he's tired from his work. I don't think he's resting because he was tired or that he really needed the rest. I think he rested to give us a model. To give us a model. He seems to be putting into motion a model for us to follow as human beings. Because God is infinite, we are finite. God is all-powerful. We are not. I don't think God needed the rest, but God needed to set a plan in motion or give us the model or give us the plan for how to live our lives. And part of that model is we need to find Sabbath rest. He desires for us to become more and more like him each day. And if we're going to be more like him, then obviously we need to take some time to rest as he did. So the creator of the cosmos shows us what it looks like to take a break from work. He did all of this and he says, okay, now there is a time to break. Now there is a time to rest. He shows us that if he can stop working, then we too can stop working. Not only is it okay to stop working, it is essential and necessary to stop working. But you notice when I said in the beginning of step one is to find Sabbath rest. I'm not talking just about rest. I'm talking about Sabbath rest. And there is a difference. There's a difference between rest and Sabbath rest. And I believe that knowing the difference very well could be a make it or break it point for your schedule and even for your life. I've had those times in my life when I've struggled to find rest. When the schedule is just so busy, things happen, things come up, things that you had planned on, and then on top of that, things that just happen to come up that you didn't plan on, and you're like, man, you know, I'm finding it hard to even find a time to rest. And so in those times, I say to myself, you know what? I just need to go to bed 30 minutes earlier. If I go to bed 30 minutes earlier, that'll work. That'll help. That'll solve this this exhaustion, right? If I just learn to go to bed a little bit earlier. And so I did. I go to bed 30 minutes earlier. And I woke up thinking, man, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be all refreshed because I went to bed 30 minutes earlier or even an hour earlier. And I wake up and I'm still exhausted. And I'm like, well, I got an extra 30 minutes or an hour of sleep. Why am I exhausted? I got the extra sleep I needed and still feel exhausted in the morning. Why? Because I was getting rest, but I wasn't getting Sabbath rest. I was getting rest, but not Sabbath rest. Maybe you too can relate with the season in your life like that. Sabbath rest isn't just getting an extra 30 minutes of sleep at night. Sabbath rest isn't just taking a 30-minute nap after you get home from work and thinking, there, that'll solve my exhaustion. Sabbath rest is pausing from the work that you have done the other 6 days of the week. It means doing something different with your time. It means stepping aside from the routine. It means maybe doing something fun or laid back into your busy schedule. Sabbath rest is an act of faith, which means then it isn't always easy to do. I'm telling you, we live in a culture where sometimes it's just hard for us to put it out, to put it away, to set it aside and just stop for a while. Some people just struggle with that, and the feeling can be overwhelming. Ironically, speaking of this Sabbath rest, the best rest for me is not to just lay on the couch for a few hours and watching football. Now, sometimes I love to just lay on the couch and watch football. But that's not really the rest that does it for me. In fact, oftentimes for me, working on a project that is outside of the routine of my day-to-day, of my normal day, is where I find the greatest amount of rest. When I can just go outside and just, or in the garage and work on a project and not really think about anything, that to me gives me more energy and energizes me more than just laying on the couch for a couple hours oftentimes. This type of rest radically changes your life and it radically changes your schedule. Some days we just need to step out of the chaotic routine of life and just chill for a bit. But sometimes we also just need to step out of the chaotic routine of life and just do something that re-energizes us. So the first thing that we need to do to get control of this crazy, chaotic, hot mess of a schedule is to make sure we take some time for Sabbath rest. The second thing that we need to do is invest in our time with God. Invest in our time with God. Can we go back to kindergarten for just a little bit? Remember in kindergarten where the teacher used like word pictures and illustrations to help get a point across? That's what I want to do this morning. So I've got a couple of props. Well, they all look alike. Now this one says full, okay? This cup says full. So this cup is like my life where I just kind of invest in myself and I just kind of fill it up, okay? Now, what happens if I invest in my life and my life is full? Okay? When I come across somebody else, a friend, a family member, or a church member that is in need, if I've taken time to invest in myself and fill myself up, when I come across somebody like this, what can I do? I can invest in them, right? I can pour back into them. Because sometimes there are people in our church, sometimes there's people in your family, sometimes there's your friends that need you. And they're depleted, and they need you to invest in them. But if you've never taken time to fill yourself up, if you've never taken your time to find Sabbath rest, if you've never taken time invested in time with God, when you come across a person like this, you're going to be useless to them. This is the person, this is the depleted me, okay? There's nothing in here because I haven't taken the time to invest in myself. Now, what happens when I come across with a family member or a friend or a church member that's in need? I got nothing. I got nothing to give you if all I'm doing is completely depleting myself all the time, right? It's so important that we take the time, and not just for our own good, but for the good of those around us who at some point are going to need you. And when somebody needs you, you have to have something left in the tank to be able to invest in them. And you know what? That's a church, biblical model, right? That's what the church is to be all about. What if everybody in here was running so ragged, had schedules that were so out of control, that weren't taking time to fill themselves up and weren't taking time to rest and weren't taking time to invest time with God, and then one of us needed something, and not a one of us in here could even have anything to offer you because we have nothing to give because we have allowed ourselves to be depleted. I'm not here to tell you you need to read the Bible more. I mean, that's never a bad thing. But that's not what I'm talking about necessarily when I say investing time with God. Like I said, it's always a good thing. But that's not really what I'm talking about. If my point were that, then we would gain just a lot of head knowledge, which, again, isn't never a bad thing. But oftentimes, if that's all we ever do, that head knowledge never sinks into our hearts, right? I want to direct you to a single verse in Psalms, one that can radically reshape the way that you think about time invested with God, especially in relationship to where it fits in your schedule. I'm telling you, this verse can radically change your life, and it can radically change your schedule. And this is what it says in Psalms 84, verse 10. It's going to be a familiar one because we sing a song about it. Probably haven't sang it in a while. And this is what it says in Psalm 84:10. It says, "Better is one day in your courts." One day in your courts than what? 1,000 elsewhere. Better is one day to be together in worship, to be together to lift up the name of Jesus, to be together to invest in one another, to invest in our souls, to fill up our cups. Better is one day than 1,000 doing something different. Amen. 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 Think about what you can accomplish in 1,000 days. 1,000 days is over 3 years. Think about, you can get a college degree. Think about everything that you can accomplish in 3 years. That's a long time. And the writer of this psalm says he is completely convinced that a single day, a single 24-hour period with God is greater than 1,000 days doing anything else. Let that sink in for a minute. He's saying, I would give up 1,000, I would give up 3 years of my life doing anything to spend one 24-hour period in the house of the Lord, in the courts, in God's courts, in praising God, in worshiping the Lord. Man, if we really understand that, it can radically change our life. So I ask, I wonder how many days are spent without God in them, much less than the entire 24 hour of a day spent with God. How many days do we let go by that we don't spend any time with God, much less spending the entire time with God? I know when I'm in a season or when my days are lacking enough God time. And how do I know? I tell you how I know, because I feel tired and I feel irritable when I have no reason to be. Or I feel like I'm getting short with people when I really have no reason to be. or I feel like I'm having a pity party for myself when I really have no reason to be. When I wake up in the morning and I'm just feeling like that, you know, life is just no fun right now. You know, I'm jealous of this, I'm jealous with that, I don't have enough time for this, I don't have enough time for that, and I start having this pity party. And then I look at myself and say, I see what's going on. I spent 1,000 days doing everything else, and I haven't spent the one day in the courts of the Lord. I spent 1,000 days doing something different and not a single day with God. And that's how I know. That's how I know. Just like the glasses a moment ago, it's all about what you and I are pouring into our lives. This rhythm of investment with God must be a daily decision. And I don't know what that looks like for you. Maybe it's the first thing you get up in the morning, the last thing you go to bed at night, the way you spend your lunch hour or whatever the case may be. I don't know what that routine or that rhythm looks like for you, but it must become part of the daily routine. The third thing is we need to give God our schedule. We need to give God our schedule. We need to find Sabbath rest, okay? And then we need to spend time with God, and then we need to just give God our schedule. So scholars believe, biblical scholars believe, that Jesus was on this earth for roughly 33 years. 33 years prior to his death and resurrection. From what the Bible tells us, he spent about 3 of those years teaching, working miracles, mentoring his disciples, teaching the crowds, healing the sick, and those things. 3 out of 33 years he did those. And then the scripture tells us very little about what Jesus' life was before that. Doesn't say a ton. Fast-forwarding over into Genesis chapter 2, or the end of chapter 2, or rather, this is what it says in verses 41 through 49. No, that's not right. I'm sorry. No. Luke chapter 2, rather. Fast-forwarding, Mark. Luke chapter 2. You're going to love this as soon as I get there. Sometimes I type it out on the screen, and sometimes I like to just read it from the pages. Luke chapter 2, verses 41, and this is what it says. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem from the Feast of the Passovers. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After returning home, the boy stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Can you imagine traveling home and you're together with family and all of a sudden you realize that your son isn't with you? Like, what in the world? I mean, talk about panic. Like, you get home. It's kind of like Home Alone. You go on vacation, you realize you left your son at home. They get back, and they're like, whoa, where's 12-year-old Jesus? What happened? When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him, like you would. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. 12 years old. This is what Jesus did when he was 12 years old. On the way back, he just stopped at the temple while his family went on. At 12 years old. Everyone who heard this was amazed at his understanding and his answers. You're going to love this. When his parents saw him, their 12-year-old, now I have a 12-year-old, when their parents found him, his mother said to him, "Son, Why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. And this is what he says in verse 49. Why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house? Like, why are you searching for me? Like, where else do you think I would have been? Like, didn't you understand or realize that I just needed to be in my father's house? 12-year-old Jesus, he said, you know what? I just needed to stop. The festival was chaos. This was chaos. The journey back was chaos. It was a hot mess. I just needed to stop. And I just needed to spend one day in my father's house. He said, I should be involved in my father's affairs, says another translation. That's astonishing to me that Jesus at 12 years old understood the busyness of life and said, I just need to tend to my father's affairs. His family went on their way with their schedules to keep. They had places to be. They had places to get to, but not Jesus. Jesus gave his schedule over to the Father for 3 days. And he said, Father, just take my schedule right now. Forget everything. Forget my family. Forget. I just take my schedule. This is truly a foundational key. Foundational key to taking your schedule from a hot mess to a manageable calendar. Maybe the step that we need to take today is very, very simple. Very, very simple, yet extremely hard to do. Maybe today we just need to give God our schedule and say, Lord, here's my life. Here's what my calendar looks like. It is out of control, it is chaotic, and it's a hot mess, and I just need to give it to you. If we maintain full control of our schedule, we can easily miss out on a blessing from God. But perhaps more importantly, if we insist on maintaining control of our schedule, we will miss out on an opportunity to be a blessing to others. This is not easy to do. There are deadlines we must meet. There's family needs that we need to take care of. There's things that come up last minute and things that need to be done. Pastor, you just obviously don't understand what life can be like. Well, I fully get it because I've lived there and I've been there. But before even making a list, before we even make our calendars, before we even craft our schedules, maybe we begin to lay it down at the feet of Jesus and say for the very first time, you get to call the shots. Lord, you get to call the shots. You get to make my schedule. This is a giant step and leap of faith. But it's a necessary one if we want to get our chaotic schedules under control and in the hands of God. Now hear me on this. A hot mess of a schedule doesn't have to mean that it's just too full to keep up with us. A hot mess of a schedule doesn't necessarily mean that it's just that full. I mean, a schedule like that is a hot mess, but it could be more than just that. It may mean that you're able to keep up with all the tasks. You're saying, well, my schedule's not a hot mess. I'm able to keep up with everything. I get the rest I need. I even take a day off during the week. I get 8 hours of sleep at night. My schedule's not a hot mess. But it is a hot mess. Even if you're maintaining your schedule, if you're not taking time to invest in yourself, if you're not taking time to, and if you don't have time to invest in others, then your schedule's a hot mess. Even if you can maintain it, even if you're getting 8 hours of sleep at night, if you're not taking time or have time to do those things, then your schedule is a hot mess. A hot mess of a schedule can be a hot mess if it doesn't include enough of the right stuff. The right stuff is the stuff that God wants us to do. The right stuff is the stuff that God is calling us to do and what God needs us to do. And if we're not doing those things, then our schedule just isn't where it ought to be. If we practice this enough and we truly want to change, then I believe that God will help us get there, that God will meet us. Jesus says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And those who seek find. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. I think some people just need help on this. Some people need help understanding that this kind of schedule is not healthy. And this kind of schedule does not allow us to be a blessing to others and to invest in others and to receive the blessing and investment that we need. If you press into God, your priorities will begin to shift. You will be all about your Father's business. If you press into God, you'll be willing to set aside the things over here to spend as Jesus did as a 12-year-old in the house of the Lord. You'll be able to intertwine the gospel message into everything and find yourself doing. People will notice it. Your family will notice it. Your coworkers will notice it. And others around us in the church will notice it. And you will finally have time for your Sabbath rest each week. You will set a time each day for investment into God's Word and build your relationship with Him. This, and only this, is how we find peace in the midst of chaos. This is how we get control of an out-of-control, hot mess of a schedule. We just give it all to Him. I'm going to close with this. As I said before, I have no idea what this needs to look like for you. I know the areas in my own life where my schedule needs, where I need to do better. I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know what you have going on in your life necessarily at the moment, and I don't know what might need to change or adjust for you to be or feel at peace. Chances are it's different for you than it is for me. But I hope that you can see that the principles we gain from Scripture are the same for each one of us. These practical steps can take your schedule from a hot mess to a manageable one. You could go from just simply surviving to a life that is thriving. And remember, if rest was important to God, then it's important for us as well. God gave us the model. The Sabbath was made for man, not the man made for the Sabbath. And I'll just close by saying what I started with. Having a schedule that is a hot mess, having a schedule that is chaotic, is not a badge of honor. And it does not honor God. Consider taking a step of faith today and cultivate a peace-filled life of blessing and joy by getting your schedule under control. Let's pray. Lord, there are so many resources available to us. There are so many writings and so many books. Words to live by. But at the end of the day, Lord, all that we need is right here in your word. You've given us the model for living. You've given us the rules for living. You showed us how to live. Your son taught us how to live. Lord, you showed us in the very beginning the importance of Sabbath rest. You modeled that for your son And then all these years later, here comes your 12-year-old son following in his father's footsteps, saying, "Why were you looking for me? You should have known I just needed to be in my father's house." Lord, I pray that you would keep us mindful of that every single day of our lives. When life gets busy, when schedules get hectic, Lord, remind us that one day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Remind us, Lord, that sometimes we just need to be in the Father's house. Sometimes we just need to be attending to the Father's affairs. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Please stand if you are able.